Hello, everyone. Welcome to another podcast of the Survivor Nolders. I'm Nick Iadanza, and I am very excited to be here because, officially, everyone, we made it. We made it to the end of a long, epic season, and I thought, do you know what? There's one more thing we need to do. We need to do a bit of a wrap-up, something that we can just kind of like put a little bow on the season. And I thought, there's someone that I haven't spoken to yet, that I haven't had a chance, that we really need to bring in. And that person is my good friend, Craig. How are you going, Craig?
Hey, Nikki. How are you doing, babe? Hi, everyone.
Craig, I'm doing excellent. And I'm really glad that you are here just to kind of break down, just really give us a good overview of everything that we saw this season. And just kind of like, you know, a quick podcast to say there's stuff we need to digest about this season that we haven't had a chance to do. So thank you for joining.
No, Nikki, any time for you, darling. Like who better to bring a breakdown and discuss a breakdown over than with me? Because you know it's going to be real and truthful. So
that's right.
Let's get this ball rolling.
Thank you so much, Craig. So one of the things I want to do before we get into it is I just want to take a moment. I want to say thank you. Everyone, if you're listening to this, it means that you checked out the podcast along the season, and I have a very loyal listenership of people that have kind of stuck with the show and really kind of like make me feel quite good and happy about the product that we have made here together this season. So I just want to take everyone back to a little moment that occurred to me over a year ago. I had been voted out the second time. I was in the jury. Shout out to Craig there. I was in the jury villa, and it was before Kylie came along, and it was just me sitting there by myself at the pool. And I said, do you know what? I want to make sure that the Survivor experience I have means something to the fans. I want to make sure that I give something back. And I made that promise all those months ago. And I feel like this Survivor season of podcast has been the culmination of me fulfilling that promise to you guys, because I knew that I wanted to give people what I would have wanted as a Survivor fan. And Craig, this podcast has been that for me.
Nikki, I think you've been absolutely brilliant. And the fact that we've got so many people getting involved with our seasons and doing things like you do and bringing it to the fans, it just gives them that extra knowledge, that extra know-how of actually what happens to us on the island and the insights and, you know, to those super fans out there that want to know the ins and outs of what actually happens just makes them love it more. And you've brought it to everyone, babe. So I'm tilting my hat.
Thank you, Craig. Well, I couldn't have done it without a whole bunch of people, and that was, you know, Rob having the faith in me to do the show, but also my awesome guests. You know, you're now a two-time Survivor Nolders contributor, Craig. So thank you so much. I counted up before we came on. I've done over 40 hours of podcasts for this season alone.
Like 40 hours?
Yeah, that's a lot.
Oh, my God, babe. Do you have a life?
This is the thing.
What is Christine doing? Christine's probably sitting there going, oh, God, he's doing another podcast, honestly. God, get over it.
So I've been doing the Nolders since May when Survivor New Zealand started. That 40 hours doesn't even include Survivor New Zealand, which went for like 50 billion hours. But I have, I've got a full-time job, and to do this, you know, is really difficult. Everyone out there is fans of Rob, and Rob does this infinitely better than I ever could. And he, you know, I just have so much respect for Rob. I had it before, and I'm telling everyone out there that this is a tough gig. So, a mad thank you to him. But again, thank you to all the guests. Thank you to all the listeners. I really, really appreciate it. And before we
get started, Nikki, I do think everyone really appreciates it. I think everyone really appreciates this coming from, you know, someone that they watch, that they can connect with from, you know, Australia, Australian Survivor and all that sort of thing. So, you know, you're not an American that's played or not whatever. You're one of our own, one of, you know, the 48 of us that have played. And I'm pretty sure everyone really appreciates that you've taken the time to do this. And So, I mean, working full-time and then doing this sort of thing into all hours of the morning or whatever it takes to do it, you've done it. And Good work, Nikki.
Thanks, great. Well, look, I don't want to make this about me, but I just thought it was just important to say that at the beginning of the podcast, because this is the last podcast of the year. I will be on the Taran show this Sunday, but that will not be too much about, you know, Survivor. It'll be about me and my journey in life and maybe a bit of Survivor as well. So check that out. But this will be the last podcast. So thank you again. And remember, you can keep in touch with me in the Survivor off season and, you know, follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Nick Idanza. Craig, where can people find you?
People can find me on Instagram. I am on Twitter. P.S. I don't really use Twitter, but I'm there if you want to join me and, like, follow the person that doesn't really say anything, just randomly says strange things. But
that's
otherwise,
just you in real life,
Craig,
as well, Craig.
Yeah, pretty much. Otherwise, just, yeah, Facebook or Instagram, Craig Ianson, you know me name.
Craig Ianson and Nick Iadanza are about to start talking about season two. Let's bring it in. Let's bring it home, Craig. So before we really dive in on that, Craig, you are going to bring us a few thoughts from the reunion because you were there for the live finale, the recording of that. We're going to talk about, you know, how we feel about the winner and what Jericho's legacy will be. We're going to kind of talk about what worked and what didn't from season two. And, you know, we are also going to look forward and prognosticate what a season three might look like if that is ordered. One of the things I want to say is that people kind of, like, you know, hit me up and say, oh, stop talking about season one. We're here to talk about season two. We're sick of hearing about your thing. And I understand that, but to those people, I want to say that, you know, it's very difficult to talk about a show in isolation, especially when there's only been two seasons. It's not the American season where we've got this wealth of, you know, stuff to pull upon. And this podcast will kind of reference that. So if that's not your cup of tea, then I totally understand and feel free to tap out now. But there will be elements where we need to discuss, like, hey, this is season two. How did it change from season one? And where might it go for season three? So strap yourselves in.
Absolutely. I'm not here to talk about season one. I'm here to talk about season two. Fantastic season. But I agree 100% with you, Nikki. Like, where do we pull our references from? I don't want to pull my references from, you know, the US season. I want to compare from our seasons, you know, the seasons that we've put out there. And we're going to do that. So not in depth. I want to keep it season two because that's what everyone's here to hear. So
let's do it then.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Craig, what are your initial, what were your overall thoughts of season two? Just give me a quick summary, a couple of sentences. What did you think?
Production value, fantastic.
Good.
They didn't miss a beat. I was in awe. Like, I mean, yes, I was a bit about when it started, but when they kicked off, straight away I went, oh my God, they've totally stepped it up a notch. And after watching the season, went, oh my God, they learned from our season and, you know, they've made moves to make it better. And I think it worked. And that's why I think this season just rolled so much more intensely, which is what our game of Survivor in general, like the game of Survivor, is all about. Like, they learned to make the game, the game. It was about the game this season, and that's what Survivor is about.
When you say they, do you mean the show or the contestants?
Both. Absolutely both. Like, I think the show itself stepped it up to make it more Survivor, but I also think they, and this comes back to the show, they chose contestants to play the game that wanted to play the game, and you saw that. Like, everyone saw that, everyone watched that, and that's what was fantastic.
The scale of the challenges was beyond epic.
Crazy!
Like,
crazy!
The scale of the challenges were epic. The casting was phenomenal. Like, I actually don't think there was a single dud in the cast, and that's a tall order for 24 people. So, amazing casting. The strategy was, it was just so, it was unpredictable. And that's what people want in a Survivor season. Season one was very predictable in some ways. But season two, it just kind of, like, I feel like it could hold its own with the best American seasons. And I've had a lot of people hit me up on Twitter, and, like, I'm talking about a lot of people who have said that they would put season two in their top 10, if not top 5 Survivor seasons of all time. Now, that's a big call, but that there are people out there who are saying that. And I don't know if I'd say top 5, but I'd definitely say top 10.
Absolutely. I think it was in the sense of gameplay and people playing their game rather than going with the tide.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Everyone went out there and everyone was literally playing for themselves, which made fantastic viewing and a fantastic season. And like no one turned around and just went the easy road.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
No one wanted just, I'll just sit here and go with this flow
exactly.
to go further. Everyone went, no, I'm going to do what I want.
Yeah.
Which I think is sort of like the Australian way. Is that, does that make sense? Like,
yeah.
nah, I'm going to do it my way. If you don't like it, you can get out.
Yeah.
everyone was doing that, which was brilliant and makes Survivor just brilliant.
Yeah. Well, I want to talk about Jericho as our winner. I was really happy with Jericho being the winner. I think he's a great representative for the show. What were your thoughts?
Oh, 100% agree. What a little cutie. Jericho just did it. Like he, yeah, you know, people might say, oh, he was an under the radar player, but he wasn't. He was very enjoyable to watch with his behind the scenes sneakiness, his whole Cookie Monster episode, his whole Put the Fire Out episode. Like he knew what he was doing. Like, and I don't think really in the edit you saw that probably the first half, maybe first two thirds of the game. But when you saw it at the end, I personally went, that's always been there. And I could tell it had always been there because
yeah.
you don't just pick those skills and that type of gameplay up at the last minute.
Yeah. I had a chance to speak to Jericho and many of you would have checked that out by now. It was an excellent interview. He just gave so many, not interviews in my skills, his answers and the insight he provided were excellent. And I think that what I took away from that is I'll boil Jericho. Well, okay, first I'll throw it to you. What will we remember about Jericho in, say, 10 years or so? So say Survivor continues to last and people are like, oh, yeah, remember the guy who won season 2? What will he be remembered for?
I believe Jericho would be remembered for that little conniving sneakiness. The revenge, I personally think the revenge aspect of where it was never, nothing was ever attacked at him, like nothing was ever directed at him, but it was directed at his people and he revenged like a trebuchet. Like he just is like, nah, you burnt me and I'm going to destroy you. And he didn't just speak to speak, he did it. Like
yeah.
he went in and just annihilated them. And just that, I think towards the end of the game, that craftiness he had, the way with words, and the acronyms, what is it? The way he spoke, like
oh, that, the,
you watched
the metaphors.
It and you laughed,
yeah.
the metaphors, you laughed, but
yeah.
it made complete sense. And you could tell it was the Jericho language, which just made me piss myself laughing at the same time going, oh my God, you're brilliant.
Yeah, the sneakiness is something that I think is great and he will definitely remember that. I'm going to put another word out there and that is risky. I think he's a risky
yeah.
player and having met him in real life and had a chance to kind of chat to him really briefly, like I think that that's just his personality. Like he's happy to give something a go. Like he's not, if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. Like, and I think that, you know, there are a lot of Survivor players, myself included, who kind of get so worried about like, oh, will this work? And, you know, is this going to happen? Or, you know, is this the best move? I think that sometimes, you know, an idea will come to Jericho's head and he will pull the trigger on it and he'll say, no, this is what I'm going to do. And that is just fascinating TV. So I think he's risky. He's sneaky, like you said, and he's someone who like luxuriates in the game and what it's all about, which is voting people out.
I think he entered the game with, coming from his background and his normal life, he went in there with this perception and this ability to go, oh my gosh, this is my chance to just, like he went in there to play the game, to be that person that he's not in real life and enjoyed it. And he enjoyed it. And, you know, he came out and he's not that same person. And so that's what I think is a proper, pure Survivor player. Like, it was just, I loved it.
One of the things that Rob and Steven spoke about in their analysis of season one was Christie's legacy. You know, what will Christie's legacy be? And this was in the final know-it-alls that I was on with them. And they talked about, you know, Chrissy's legacy being more so that a legacy that Lee leaves won't continue. And Chrissy is being someone who kind of like is willing to talk, like to talk smack at the end. And, you know, and in many ways, I think that we saw Chrissy's legacy also be the people who people perceive as floaters are really dangerous. And I think that Chrissy had a lot to do with people like Odette getting voted out. So that's Chrissy's legacy. What will Jericho's legacy be if Survivor continues for season 3 onwards, Australian Survivor? What do you think Jericho's legacy will be?
I think Jericho's legacy will be that after watching season 1, they stepped it up. And I think his legacy will be the whole, exactly what you said, play your game, make your moves, own your moves,
yeah,
and give them 100%, because what else are you going to do? Like, it's like Jericho knew there was the fear of getting voted out, but that didn't hold him back. He went, it was like continuous, I'm going to go down guns blazing.
Yeah.
Continuously.
Yeah.
And that's why I think he was so confident in all his moves, was because he went in there full throttle. Like, I'm going to make this move, and it's either going to cost me the game or take me to the next day.
Yeah.
And it just continuously took him to the next day. And I didn't see any arrogance or anything over it. It was just literally reset, reattack, go again. Like, and that's what I think Jericho's legacy will be the commit fully, yeah, to his moves and play to win, play to stay.
I like that, play to stay. One of the thoughts that I had like recently was I see Jericho's game a little bit like Todd from Survivor China, and Survivor China is one of my like favorite, if not my favorite,
all-time
Survivor
favorite
season. Yeah. And I think there's a lot of, and it's not just because they're these kind of like shortish, small, cheeky guys that are flight attendants and all that. I actually think there's quite a lot of similarities in the fact that, you know, they have this kind of strong alliance with someone, you know, like Courtney and Luke, who are kind of like these, you know, snarky, kind of like shit-stirring characters that don't take themselves too seriously, but actually have some sort of acumen for the game. And then at the final, yeah, tribal council, both Todd and Jericho owned what they did, like, 100%.
Yeah.
Jericho maybe even stepped it up even further and like did refuse to apologize about a single thing. And I know that
absolutely
Todd didn't either, but do you think that's a fitting comparison?
I think that's what you, like, I would have done this, like, you can't, there's no, to me, there's no way you considered that end and apologize. You did it.
Yeah.
You cut people's throats. You did what you did. What they want to know is the justification, and
yeah,
not necessarily the apology, because they'll eventually get the apology and they probably already know it. But you need to sit there and admit what you did, why you did it, and don't have any remorse, because you wouldn't be sitting there if you didn't do it. And that gives, to me, a jury member that bit of respect of why you did what you did.
Yeah.
So that's what I think Jericho did brilliantly.
One, you know, if you, like I said, if you haven't checked out that chat with Jericho, hearing his thoughts on the final tribal council was really interesting. And the fact that he didn't apologize to Pete for something that he did, and you should check it out, was really interesting. What happened? And he admits that that did lose him, he lose Pete's vote. And in the end, it didn't matter. But Jericho spoke about, you know, maybe having to find a balance between, you know, how hard he went in final tribal and maybe, you know, softening it a little bit with a bit of, even if you're not going to apologize, some sort of kind of understanding that you need to, you know, recognize people's feelings. So,
I think agree that you need to go hard and like not respect, but I think that comes down to the understanding of the person you voted
yes,
out.
Yes.
So that's the difference, where if, you know, when Jericho was talking to Pete and Pete asked this question and he responded, it was more of the understanding that Pete just left,
yeah,
and he was the rawest out of all of them. So maybe the
yeah,
you know, a little bit more calmer approach to the situation was entitled. but at the same time, he treated everyone exactly the same. So
yeah, I want to get your thoughts on. So you were at the reunion, and you were there, you know, for the live reveal, and I want to get your thoughts on all that in a second. But what was the reaction both during and afterwards, after the taping had finished, to Jericho as the winner? Were people happy, or was that, you know, were people kind of like, you know, you tell me.
Oh, everyone was ecstatic. When JLP pulled out the Jericho vote and, you know, he was going ape crazy and everything, he got a standing ovation. Like, everyone stood up. Like, I don't think everyone that I spoke to was proud, like, happy. Like, it was, yeah, it was a good atmosphere. Like, it was a standing ovation, Nikki. Like, it was like the end of an orchestra, you know what I mean? Sure. That had been playing for an hour and a half that everyone's just been in trance with. And on, you know, they're talking to them, and JLP is doing his, you know, final questions and talking to the final two, and everyone's sitting there on suspense because, you know, obviously none of us have seen it, so it's like all new to everybody. And then he starts reading the votes, and I mean, me being me, it's like sitting there going, oh my God, I'm watching the final votes getting read. Like, oh my gosh, like, this is insane. And it happens, and you see the reactions, you see it, like, and those guys knew nothing. Like, they had no idea what the hell was going to go on. And the crowd went ballistic. Like, the crowd went crazy. Like, it's what you see or you've seen before on the US is exactly what happens. Everyone goes crazy and stands up. It's just the atmosphere is intense because it's just so suspenseful.
So what's some inside goss from your, you know, you're our roving reporter on the scene, Craig. What's some inside goss from the reunion that you can tell us?
Oh my gosh. Like, what sort of things, Nikki? Give me some guidelines. Like, crowd was filled with fans and family that had, you know, no idea. And obviously, you know, what we saw wasn't necessarily all of it, but everyone was just so pumped to be there. And
well, you bring up a good point. What we saw is not all that we saw, because the American one is off, is live. Ours was filmed on a Friday, I believe, and then aired on the Monday or Tuesday. I was in Japan. I don't quite remember, but
you were too busy at Harry Potter.
I was at Harry Potter World getting my Hogwarts t-shirt. So tell me, was there stuff that didn't make the final cut you thought was interesting, or was it all kind of as it was? Because I thought there was a few things that maybe were left out. No,
really, what?
I think
the whole the final questions and revealing of the votes was pretty much exact. I mean, maybe there was a few things left out of the reunion part of the show, but that's a different size story. I think the initial vote reading was normal. I think left out of the reunion part of the show, in my opinion, was that there was people that weren't spoken to. It was very sort of player dominant in the sense of the focus. It was sort of like a lot of people were spoken to compliment other people's games, which I sort of was a little bit like, what? No, that the person you're talking to was a beast. Like, what are you doing?
I think that was their way, the show's way of getting more people speaking, but about the same topic, which, you know, we don't need to hear what Sarah has to say about Luke. Let's talk about Sarah's game, because she was, for my money, one of the best, if not the best, on the season.
Are you serious? That girl, I loved her sick, and I was going for her from the beginning. Not just because of the beginning promos, like, you know, when the promos come out at the beginning, you're like, oh, they're showing the idiots, or they're showing the big people, whatever. Yeah, yeah. So I had that opinion of her for the first little bit. And then I started watching her, and I was just like, oh, my God, this girl knows what she's doing, and she's actually really good. And I loved it. But, yes, I mean, Sarah didn't get enough reunion for my liking.
And Pete. Like, that's just
and
crazy.
What?
Pete. It's just crazy. Oh! It's just crazy. And it makes me really angry, actually. I don't want to talk about it. It makes me angry. And I said this on the podcast with Pete, which was also
not even that, like, not even that, but like, I don't think Pete was even spoken to really much. Yeah. And I was just like, dude, he was final three. Like, what are you doing? Like,
it's crazy.
Speak to the guy. Like,
it's crazy. Do you think that, so we didn't have a reunion season one, and then Channel 10 came out and said, we're going to do a live reunion. We heard your call for it. We're going to do it, you know, for season two. Do you think, looking back, Channel 10 thought, do you know what? That was a success. Do you think they would invest the money again to do another live reunion?
Yeah, absolutely.
You do?
I was actually shocked for our season that they didn't do that, considering that history explains it all. That, I mean, in 34 seasons of America, they've only done no live finale for, or, you know, I mean, they've done reunions, but no live finale for one of them.
Yeah.
So, wasn't that a lesson to learn? Like, that shocked me. And
my thoughts were that they were never going to do one for us. And I'll give you a little inside thing here. So after Final Tribal Council for season one, we voted, you know, we did the, you know, the reveals, et cetera, blah, blah, blah. And then when we walked out of Final Tribal Council, the executive producer sat us down and the head of Endemol Shine and said, that was an amazing season. Thank you guys so much. They gave us this pep talk saying we've just, you know, what we filmed yesterday with the final three challenge was some of the best TV we've ever made. And they just seemed really genuine. And one thing they said was, the secret is now up to you guys to keep. And if you don't keep it, well, if we do have a live reunion, we will consider not inviting you. And I was like, from that moment, I was like, there's no live reunion. Like, there's no live reunion, because they said, if we do. And it's just like, so they never, I feel like they never had any intention of doing one for season one.
No, of course not. They never did. Obviously, they did a, like, reveal on the goddamn island. It just doesn't work. You know what I mean? It's just ridiculous. And it's as if out of how many cast, crew or whatever, you know, everyone signs their contracts and everything, but someone's going to slip up somewhere and it just snowballs. So
I want to talk about some of your personal favorites. So I want you to give me, so this is of the contestants. I want you to give me, who do you think were your three standouts? So you said Sarah, is she one of them?
Yes, definitely Sarah.
Okay, so I said Sarah. Give me two more.
I loved Sarah as in her, I mean, I love the girls. Like, I always go for a girl. I don't know why I don't aim for the boys. Maybe because majority of the boys are like alpha males or something. I just think, oh, you think you've got gifts or whatnot. But Sarah was, you know, this skinny little model that knew what she was doing. So, of course,
okay.
Sarah.
Who else?
Watching the season, I did like Annalise. She impressed me a lot and I thought she was fantastic. And I mean, I have to do four. I mean, I was always going for my rainbow brother.
Pete.
So Pete always was up there from the get-go. I was like, go bad, go, go, go. And I just like blew my mind. Like when he came third, I talked to him and just said, you are amazing. You did us proud. Like, you did what, like I said to him, you did what I didn't do, in that to show everyone just how, you know, unstereotypical we can be and to don't underestimate difference. And took my hat off and said, love him. Like, he's just brilliant.
Great.
And then, oh my God.
That's three.
Oh shit! That's three. Is that okay?
That's fine. But now, on the flip side of that, who are some people that you just didn't vibe with? You and this is nothing against them, and we know that, you know, you're probably in contact with them, and they all understand. Who are the three people that you just kind of think, do you know what? I probably could have done without them on this season.
Oh well, I wouldn't say I couldn't have done them without them on the season, but at the same time, like watching them going, I don't really see what you're doing, sort of a thing. I hope I don't insult anyone.
No, ever look, I've spent a whole season talking about Tara and how I didn't vibe with her. And you know, her and I had a great chat about it. And I have to say, the podcast I did with her was in my top five favorite podcasts I've ever done. she was so honest, and so she understands. So everyone understands. So just
okay.
Go,
all right,
go, Greg.
Cool.
Greg, you're not one to mince words. What are you doing?
I know. I do have some respect, Nick. You know,
I do have a soul deep down.
Yeah, I do. It's in there somewhere. I was actually going to say Tara.
Okay.
And just simply because for me, her edit was just, what are you doing? Like, it just looked like she didn't know what was going on a lot of the time. Yeah. And I had sort of flashbacks to some people. And
who would they be, Greg?
No, just people. And
you are holding out on us. This is what, look, the IHAP community, Craig, loves you because you say it as it is.
I was watching Tara and going, okay, what the hell are you doing? Like, yes, you were good in the beginning. You had your blow up after, Amy went, and then you just sort of sidled along. But a lot of the tribals and stuff, it was like, babe, you were talking as if you had no idea. Your reaction was like you actually had no idea. Like, you didn't really know what was going on around you. And I was just thinking, going, oh, God, is she just a number? Like, I don't like just number players. And yes, I'm going back to, like, Christy and Connor. to bring that up. But just people that went and you didn't really, they just went along. You know what I mean? Like, they went along. They didn't have that. They had that fear of not standing up and doing something. But obviously, that's my opinion. And she did do stuff. But so, yeah, unfortunately, Tara, I did.
Who else?
God. For some reason, I don't really get the hype of Tarzan. Is that bad?
Okay.
I don't get the hype of Tarzan, in character-wise and being a television, visual, yes. But in sense of what he was doing, come on, mate, like, what were you doing? And
one more, Craig, quick.
I'm going to say Odette.
Odette.
I don't know why. Odette, maybe just because, like...
Same reason as Tara.
Really, exactly. Yeah, but just because, like, you didn't do anything. You just went with everyone else. You just followed along. You didn't, make a change. I mean, like, who, when they're a swing vote, goes and sits down the beach...
Yeah.
And just waits for everyone else to do everything and expects them to come to them and go, hey, this is what we're doing. Let's jump on board.
Yeah.
Like, at that point in the game, no queen, no.
Yeah.
Like, that's not going to happen. So, apologize to the three of you. I love you.
One of the things I want to ask you now, so while we're talking about the casting and the contestants, and we said there was many great contestants, what do you think that Survivor Casting saw with these people that they will try and replicate or they will keep in mind when casting for season 3?
I think they will remember the want to outdo the people that came before them.
Yeah.
And the want to prove better. Like, so they've seen 2 seasons now. So they will have that confidence and that cockiness to go, I can do it better, I know better moves to make, etc. That's what I think they'll look for.
Yep.
And that's what I think they got from season 2 was that the whole, I love season 1, it was so fun, you had lots of characters, but in the sense of gameplay, I could do this and I would do that. And they would listen to it more.
Yep.
Like, I think obviously through ours, we said that. But they were like, oh, yeah, okay, you just probably say that to get on the show or whatever you're doing.
Sure.
And then they watched this and saw the people that did what they did and saw the people that didn't. But these guys went, no, I'm going to do it. And they probably had that sort of, what's the word, the expectation to do stuff. So they did it and it was great.
I think that we can expect more troublemakers. You know, you're more your Jericho's, Luke's, your AKs, these kind of people that aren't afraid to switch things up. I think that
absolutely.
We can. I think that while we steered away from mateship from season 1, they know that they need to sprinkle a couple of people in there. And Tarzan proved that, the casual viewer loves that. So I think that we'll expect one or two more of those. Because that was a hit. And I think that they did a good job of finding, you know, not just bikini babes, but they found, you know, these women that were really good strategic players. And I think that they should take note of that and really keep that in mind when they cast that worked this season. Whether they don't want to talk to them at the reunion or not is a different story, but I think they were definitely onto something with their female casting this year.
I mean, who would have thought Michelle would have pulled out that stuff? Like, yes. Who would have thought Michelle from day one would have gotten halfway through and just, that was one of my most intense, I don't think my most intense tribals that I've ever watched, where I've actually, in all my Survivor seasons, sort of cringed a bit at how much she threw him under the bus.
Eviscerated
Ben. I was just like, yes! And just like tied him up, put him on the spit, put him over the fire, lit the fire, turned it, and then fed everyone. Like, I was just like, oh my God. Where the hell did this girl come from? And from that time, she followed it through for the rest. I would not have expected that from her from the beginning, and that's what I think is fantastic.
I want to play a little game for you, and I want to throw out some of the things that have happened that production chose this season to include, and you're going to tell me if it's a yay or a nay. But instead of that, you're going to say it is a yes-a-toa or an aga no way.
Yes-a-toa. What the hell is a yes-a-toa?
Like Asatoa, the name of the merge tribe.
Aga noa.
No.
Oh, God.
Oh, Craig. Asatoa, that was their tribe name, the merge tribe, and then Aganoa from last season. Keep up, Craig. Jeez. Oh, keep up with my dumb puns. What are you doing?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm probably not listening because I didn't hear of a vowel in there, and that's probably because you're bitter.
I tried to get a vavow, but you try and make vavow sound like yes or no, all right? Craig, please. It's slim pickings with these crazy names.
Let's play your game, Nikki.
Okay,
let's
ready? Yeah. Obviously, we know, and this isn't about the 55 days, the 24 people. We know that these are now things that are not changeable. These are things that are just going to happen, okay? But one of the things that we went for this season was two tribes of 12 as opposed to three tribes of 8. So two tribes of 12, Yesatoa or Aga No Way?
Aga No Way.
Oh, okay. How come?
I think the two tribes of 12 work better. For 24 people, it...
Well, then that would be a Yesatoa, Craig. Keep up, mate.
Oh, what? Oh, what do you mean? I thought you said, do you think they're going to do it again with three tribes of 8? And I said, no.
Oh, okay. Well, that's not what I said. But all right. Anyway, yes. Okay, go. So. Oh.
Yeah, go.
Okay, so you liked the two tribes of 12.
Absolutely. I think because you got to see more of them, more of the individuals, more everything, where ours was cut and shift and going backwards, forwards, and you didn't see where this one, you saw more interaction with everyone because there was more people around at the one time.
Interesting. I feel like that is definitely the case as the tribes got smaller. But in those first few days, there were people that just did not get a shoe in. But I guess that happened season one as well. So,
yeah.
Especially if there's big fat camera hogs on each tribe.
Oh, well, you know, we had ours.
I know, bloody Barry, mate, just sucked all the screen.
Oh, that bad. That bloody bad.
All right.
Did he ever get away from the camera?
The next one, Super Idol. Are you liking this, Yesatoa, or are you not liking this, Aga No Way?
Aga No Way.
Okay. How can
That wasn't a Super Idol.
How can the show tweak the Super Idol?
By making it a Super Idol? Like, a Super Idol is to save yourself after a vote. Like, you take a Super Idol, people vote, you get voted out, you whip out the queen and Super Idol, and you go, sorry, bitches, no way. You don't sit there and go, actually, I'm going to take her idol away and make her go home. How does that benefit you? What it was, like...
Yeah.
I did, like, that's not a Super Idol. A Super Idol has already been established with a reputation. What they did was good, but that's not a Super Idol. That should be called something else. Like, come up with a different name for it.
Yeah. I've got no issue with them, using that name for it specifically, but what I think, I don't want them to give the Tony super idol. I don't think that, I think he's got too much power, right? But what I
That's brilliant.
No, I think he just gives too much power. Idol. No, he gives too much power to one person. This is what I say.
You would say that until you had it in a little hot hand.
Oh, of course. Are you kidding? Like, yeah. Are you kidding? It's the best when you've got it. But I think that it makes it too, it's just too, we're lucky that it was in Tony's hands. You know, like,
yeah.
It wasn't in someone that we didn't like. It wasn't, you know, that season, you know, Morgan didn't pick it up, you know, like it was actually in someone who we wanted to get to the end. I think this is what it should be. At the beginning, there's a super idol up for grabs. You can use the super idol up until day 30, whatever it is, whatever day the merge is. And after that, it becomes completely null and void. And it's kind of like one of those things where it's like, this will self-destruct on day 30, disappear.
Yes.
And that way...
I agree with you.
It can't ride you all the way to the end, but it can ride you maybe to the merge, you know? And then you've got to play on your own.
See, that's the twist and tricks that is good. And I think, like, watching the American, they're starting to catch on to that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And I think that's what needs to evolve in is this. Yes, I think things deserve a shelf life so that people don't ride them for a long time until whatever they've got. It. And that just amps up different stages of the game perfectly.
Okay, next one. We brought out the old Cook Islands mutiny. Are you liking this, Yesitoa, or not, Aganoe?
In season two, the mutiny, Aganoe, like that was, okay, I have a question for you, Nikki.
Tell me.
If Pete didn't stand up mutiny, what would have happened?
Yeah, that is a really good question because the show needed that to be a non-elimination episode. And if no one mutinied, I have no idea what they would have done. I reckon they would have stood there and JLP would have grilled them until someone took it.
I'm pretty sure they were... I got the gist that they were given the ultimatum that one of you needs to stand up and go to the other tribe. That's what I got from that episode.
Okay, now I can't quite remember, and this is very bad on me because I spoke with him a week ago, but when I spoke with Pete, he said that he asked that if he left, were they still going to do a vote? That doesn't actually impact what we're saying. But no, I remember him saying something about that, you know, he asked, if I leave, do they still have to do a vote? Because he was worried that Sarah would go home anyway. And when he found out that they wouldn't vote if he left, he left and didn't feel bad about it.
But yeah, of course.
I don't think that changes the fact. Maybe they held off and they held off on the mutiny until they knew there was someone who was in a really crummy position so that it would definitely get used. Because I don't
think... Bullshit.
That is bullshit. But we do know, Craig, that they do like to kind of like, they will make things up if they have to. They will make changes if they have to. We know that the merge in season one was supposed to happen one episode later, but they brought it forward an episode. So they are willing to play around on the fly, and that's their prerogative. And it would happen many a times in the American Survivor, and that's just a part of it.
Yeah.
It's just reality TV.
Yeah.
Okay. The next one. The barge, the marooning at the beginning. So we arrived on trucks, and then season two, there was this epic barge moment. Yesitoa or Aganoe?
Yesitoa.
Okay, what do you like about it?
I loved it. I loved the sitting. I loved watching them getting the rain pissed down on them. The thing I didn't like was the drawbridge going down and everyone trying to not kill themselves, jumping off the drawbridge and throwing everything off. The barge was fantastic. That's a proper Survivor marooning. I think the aspect of it, though, is chuck everything over the side and then you jump in. And once you've jumped in, you can't get anything else. That's the whole dilemma of the marooning of a jump off the boat that I like, is unless there's anyone left on the boat to throw things to, you don't get enough, which is sort of the same thing. But everyone was like running down the gangplank and it's still going down. It's like this drop and you see Luke like smash himself and like it was, I'd love a marooning. Like, I wanted to be marooned. Like,
so I was,
it was fantastic.
I was hoping not for a marooning because I just was like, I think I'm going to die on the first day.
You just bloody wanted to strut in there like it was Gabon.
Mate, I'm not climbing some giant hill in my 50-pound sneakers. What about this one? So we know how much you loved the twist when you voted me out and I survived. Like, we know that was just like your favourite moment of season
my
one.
My favourite part favorite of the moment. Entire thing.
So yeah, how did you feel about the double fake out vote off this season with Annalise and Tara? Yes, Atoa or Aga No Way?
The vote out of Tara and Annalise, yes, Atoa.
Ooh.
I think that's an Australian thing. I think when season three, season four, however many, I reckon that's a signature thing for our game. What I didn't like about that was that it didn't happen for the other guys. Like, they tried something new with the whole shock of you've now got to pick people to go or they've got to select themselves to go. It was two different moves trying to force into one.
Yeah.
And I felt that it was more of a shock and a reaction and a backlash for the vote out at the tribal council compared to the ones on the beach going, who are we going to pick? Because they had that more process time, where with us and Sanapu, it was completely raw, completely like, what the hell are you doing? Oh, my God. And we'd already done it. Like, we did it before they mentioned it.
Yeah.
And I felt like it happened half this time compared to last time.
Okay. Well, one of the things that I didn't like, I thought it was good. No, I didn't love it. That's an exaggeration. I thought it was okay. Like,
yeah, because you had bloody nightmares that you were sitting in the corner going, why?
No, don't you mean the opposite, being like, yes, the best moment ever? No. What I didn't like about it is, like, I think that it was too much. Like, they could have just dropped that at any moment. The only thing that, if they had changed, I thought they should have, at the immunity challenge, there was like, you know, like in Cook Islands, like, you win this bottle.
So yeah.
You take this bottle and you open it up at tribal council so that the show, the audience knows it was a mechanism built into the show that wasn't just dropped at the last minute to save, you know, two players and stuff.
Absolutely. And I agree with that, with the going back to Cooks again with the whole mutiny thing. Don't do it at tribal. Do it random in the middle of a challenge or at the beginning of a challenge where you just go, hey, who wants to switch up? You've got 5 seconds.
Right.
And that's it. And just wait for people to go, holy shit, should I, shouldn't I? That's a mutiny. Not, are you about to get voted out? Well, how about you jump over to the other guy?
What about the, you know, one of the most heartbreaking moments of the season, Tessa getting voted off the jury? Yes, Atoa or Aga No Way?
Aga No Way. That is brutal.
How would you have felt, Craig, if you'd made the jury and then you had been voted off from the jury?
I think it would have been, I actually saw a thing that Tessa said where she said she actually felt worse about being voted out of the jury than she did with getting voted out of the game. And that's 100% true. I think that would be brutal, especially so close to the end. Like, you've got 2-3 days left and she would have been building up a game, you know, her question and bonding and all that, and, you know, tying all loose ends with all the game. And all of a sudden it's like, hey, bitch, you're not done yet. Bang, punch you in the gut, you're gone home. Like,
one of the things,
voting out a jury member is just a kick in the gut. Like,
a quick story that I may have told on the podcast before, I'm not quite sure, but the day that we, before we started the game, our season, was the finale of Koh Rong. I didn't get to see it in lockdown, but Sue, I'm not sure if you did. I don't think you did either.
I didn't either, no.
So Sue had seen it, and then she told us all the outcome, and she told us about what had happened. And then when I was in the jury, I think it was around the final four, it just kind of hit me. Oh, my God, I reckon they're going to do that. I'm going to get voted off. And I had been like walking in, like scowling at the tribe just for fun. Like, you know, like, yeah, you bastards, like, just, but with a smile. But then afterwards I was like, oh my God. And I walked in like the happiest person ever. Like, hey guys, hey Sam, hey Lee, hey everyone, like, don't vote me out. Like, so because that fear of, oh my God, I'm actually going to get sent home, for some reason darted through my head. And it would be, I think, more terrifying than actually getting voted out of the game, because you think, okay, at least I'm safe. I'm going to get to this final thing. I'm going to get to have a say, you know, and it just would have just pulled the rug out from everyone completely.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
The last one, and this is a fun one, okay? The auction, okay? There was an auction season one, an auction season two, an auction in many Survivor seasons, but in this auction, there was one person who got to get every single reward. That person was Luke. Did you like this, Yesatoa, or no, Aganoa? No way.
I'm actually going to go Yesatoa.
Okay.
I did like it because I've never seen it before. And besides the fact that your auction was absolutely pathetic.
Mm-hmm. My auction?
Season one auction, sorry, was pathetic. This auction was a proper auction. And, yeah, I've never seen that before, and I thought it was brilliant because to send it out in the first, it sparks people to go, holy shit, got to bid the money, got to go, got to make the money. Because you know how many people just sit there and they don't bid, and it's so boring. It's like, just eat the food, like spend your money. Yeah, you might get a bowl of bats or unfortunately a coconut with a straw in it, but spend your money. Mate, like, you know, the ones that sit there and hold on to their money as if they're going to get to take it home. Like, what are you thinking? Just eat the goddamn food.
Oh, mate, I know. I had the exact same.
But what? The only downfall was that I was like sitting there watching going, Luke, have you even touched the cheesecake? Like, he had so much food there, he couldn't even eat it all, which was, I think that aspect could be brought back. And somehow, do you reckon there could be a weird auction twist where you could bid on his food and he gets to bid again? Or ooh, like,
bid on his scraps?
Something bid on his scraps. But I mean, the difference in that is because he got all the clues and got all the advantages or whatever came out of it because he automatically got it. But imagine if there wasn't that, and then like somehow you could bring the people that hadn't got anything back into it by bidding on his stuff.
Yeah.
And he got a reward for it or something over, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
yeah,
some
yeah,
twist
yeah,
that way. Like, imagine that.
I like the bidding on his scraps. I think that's funny. I will bid $50 for a sucked chicken wing and a half-eaten chip.
Oh, look, you would have done it.
One of the things I tried, when Sue won a giant steak with some fries, the bloody idiot, she didn't even finish it. She didn't even finish it. And I was like, Sue, you idiot, what are you doing? Stuff that in your face. And I said, can I pay for Sue's gristle and a couple of her fries? And they said no. And I would have sucked those things down.
I would have walked out there picking my teeth with a bone.
All right, Craig, there's one more thing we have to do, and we have to talk about, we have to prognosticate for the future, season three. Now, last season, the ads came out during the finale saying, if you want to be on a Survivor, send in your tape, you know, for season two. Yeah. And it was, you know, everyone knew at that point that it was coming back. That did not happen this year. And we are waiting for the upfronts, which will be in a couple of weeks, to find out whether Survivor is coming back next year. Now, what do you think? Because I think it's in limbo. One of the things international viewers might not know is that the ratings have been okay, but they haven't been great, especially for how much the show costs to produce, and especially with Channel 10 being in financial troubles. What do you think? Is it coming back?
I hope so. I agree with you with everything. I think that with CBS jumping on board, maybe there's been a delay. I reckon something's in the pipeline. And maybe at the same time, I think because they had the first two seasons booked, ready to rock. Yeah?
Right.
So they already knew what they were doing. They already knew that they were going to do two seasons, 2 years in a row, same time, both at Samoa, had it planned, everything set. Now they're changing plans. I reckon when season three comes around, I don't think it's going to be filmed necessarily at the same time. I think it could be a bit later or maybe earlier. Who knows? But to me, it's definitely going to be a different location. And I think that's possibly playing into it. But I think a big thing with it is the fact that Channel 10 had the difficulties that they had and CBS has come into the situation. I'm hands down praying to baby Jesus that there is a third season and a fourth season on, because I think they're doing very well and, you know, they might be getting ratings that they expected, but I think they're getting ratings that it deserves. And it just, they're still growing. They're still going hard. Like, they're learning, and it's, I mean, compare season one to season two. It got, imagine season three and season four. Like, are you serious? Like, it's just going to go epic.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think that CBS coming on board, and for those of you who don't know, that CBS, you know, the American station, one of the biggest, you know, media corporations in the world, has purchased Channel 10 and now owns Channel 10. And, you know, Survivor is one of CBS's darlings, you know, like, it's one of their mainstays. And I hope that that, you know, it bodes very well for Survivor. We're just going to have to wait and find out. Say it does come back, what things do you think you would want to see in season three?
Oh, my God. I still want to see an Australian signature. Like, I don't want it to lose anything. And I'm talking about, you know, the vote someone out of tribal, ooh, you're not going home, that sort of thing. But I love the fact that this season mostly had challenges I'd never seen before.
Yeah.
I want bigger challenges. I was actually hoping that this season they would get to the final four and they would do this massive drone pan of the challenge. It would be one of those epic mazes like they did in Amazon.
Yeah.
Like some crazy thing like that. Like, go crazy. Like, put them through their paces because they will do it. You know what I mean? I hope they're learning that whatever they put in front of us, we will do.
Yeah.
So they can go big and make it crazy. And that's what I hope next time they learn, is that you can keep, they can keep pushing the limits because the people that are out there will do it. You know what I mean?
Here's my theory of what will happen next season if it comes back. I think that the two tribe thing is, was a good experiment. And I think that it was probably driven more by,
you didn't like it?
No, I liked it, but I think it was driven more by finances, to be honest, that it's just cheaper to have two tribes. That's only two builds for every challenge. That's only, you know, two camps you need to look after and stuff like that. I think that was part of it. But I think that if it comes back, the show will try a theme to try and hook more viewers. And I think that the theme that works the best is brains, brawn, and beauty. And I can see it. I can see if them coming back season three for that.
I can see that too, but I can also see it being an Australian twist.
Yeah.
Like, not brains versus brawn versus beauty, but something like Bogan versus, you know, versus, what else do we call it? Bogan versus Yuppie versus Snobnose or something like that, you know? Like
Sheila versus Shazza versus something like that.
Sheila versus Dazza versus Shazza. Bloody Monique.
I think that they'll definitely go with some sort of theme. And, yeah, I think that one will work best. And if so, then they will go back to, obviously, for the three tribes thing. I'm surprised that they didn't do the two tribes to three back to two this season. I was expecting
that. I am,
and
too.
I think a lot of the players were expecting that. And, therefore, I'm glad they didn't do it. So I understand that. But I can definitely see them doing Brains, Brawn, Beauty because I think it's will capture a new audience. One of the things that gets thrown around a lot is this idea of all-stars, Craig. So I want to get your opinion. Yeah. Do you think that the show will, A, be around long enough for all-stars? And if so, how long do you reckon the fans have to wait?
Oh, I reckon, I think in the sense of, like, as you're talking about brains versus brawn versus beauty, like a theme, definitely. All-stars, obviously, that's a long shot off. Like, it would at least, I mean, you've got to be generous. Like, I mean, at least four or five seasons. Like, if we're still doing 24, split that up into four or five. How many people do you have from each season?
Yeah, so
what? 4, 8, 12.
Oh, mate, I don't do math. If
you want four people from each season, that's six seasons. So then All Stars would be season seven. Do you know what I mean? If you're doing four from each thing and then splitting them up. But the dynamics of 24 splitting up and making sure you haven't got pre-existing relationships or like whatever on the same tribe that people like it with their setup of 55 days, 24 people.
Yeah.
Dynamics of All Stars is a lot more in depth to sort out.
Yeah.
They've got to have at least 5 seasons.
I think that there is no way Australian Survivor lasts to 5, definitely not 7 seasons, and there's very slim chance I think that it lasts to 5, season 5.
Well, you're just a negative Nancy, aren't you?
Give me, and again, we're not talking about this because we're talking about ourselves. Give me 5 names from season 2, and then this is where we're going to end the podcast. Let's end 5 names, season 2, who you think the show would bring back.
Oh, fuck. AK,
mm-hmm.
Of course.
Agreed.
AK, and then pretty sure they'll definitely ask Luke. That naturally, being Australia, they'd ask Lockie. I would hope that they would ask Sarah. And I'm either tossing up, I would have to say 6. It would be, as you would go, like, personality-wise, it would be Tarzan and Amy.
Right. Amy. Interesting.
Yeah, of course. Are you serious? Like, she was, like, she went out, you know,
Casting gold. But, yeah.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
So I think, like, an All-Stars season, production would think about the players but also the characters, because that's what an All-Star season's about. It's not just about putting 24 cutthroat maniacs on an island. It's adding in, you've got to go the whole piece. Like, you've got to have the maniacs, you've got to have the over-the-top characters, but then you've got to have the entertainers, and that's a mess. But also that you've got to chuck in there the desperado second chances, you know what I mean? So they've got so much in an All-Stars. And I wouldn't, like, why does it need to be called All-Stars? It could be, you know, it's more of a second chance or a round two. Like, why can't we go Survivor round two of some people, you know? Like, All-Stars to me is, like, people think of it as the best of the best or the amazing players, and then they get so in-depth with it and think, why is that person there? Why is that? Like, it's bringing back people to build up the game or emphasize how amazing the game is. And you can bring back those pre-merge people like Kelly Wentworth and who just smash it. And you can bring back those, you know, personalities of the memorable people like Timmy Kappenberg that make it still don't really, you know, do something.
Or a Craig.
Or a Nick or a bloody, you know, who else? Don't bloody speak. Jeez, I'm answering a question, you bitch. God.
Oh, Craig, I like him. I like it. Craig, we're going to have to end it there. We hit the hour mark, and I think that's a really good place to end. Can I just thank you, first of all, for your signature hilarity, your honest and open opinions, and for coming on now being a two-time Know-It-Oz contributor. Thank you so much, Craig.
Nikki, as always, thanks, babe. I love talking to you, and I just get a little tickle every time you ask me to come on.
Oh, couldn't do it without you, mate. I told you I was holding you for something special, and it was the big
round. Oh, God, if everyone knows the times that you've held me, Nikki.
That's a great place to end. Thank you so much, everyone. As I said at the beginning of the podcast, thanks so much for your support all season long. Please hit me up on Twitter and Insta and let's chat, because I would love to hear what you thought of the coverage and give me your feedback. And like I said, check me out on the Taron Armstrong Show this week coming up. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And I will maybe one day see you again on the Survivor Know It All.